my text from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 7. I probably over any message that I have ever preached and attempted to preach in my life, I have been full of this message in my spirit and in my prayers. I have cried before the Lord. I have sought the Lord diligently. I have cried unto Him for this message that I begin to minister to you today. And I pray that you will open up your hearts, that you will open up your minds, that you will open up your spirit. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. This says this in verse 7, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the waters beneath the earth. Thou shalt not bow thyself unto them. Thou shalt not serve them, for I am the Lord thy God, I'm a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, upon the third and the fourth generations of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto them that love me and keep my commandments." Let's go to the Lord in prayer. And as you go to the Lord in prayer, I want you to pray a very specific prayer. I want you to pray that the Spirit of the Lord would have its free course in this place. And I want you to pray against every demonic spirit that opposes itself against the knowledge of God. And I want you to pray that right now with me in Jesus' name. Lord, I come to you right now. We come to you, Lord, as your body, as your church. Lord, we pray against every demonic spirit of oppression. Lord, we pray against every spirit that's a lie that would impose itself and exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Lord, we pray in this place that your spirit would have freedom and free reign in our hearts. Lord, open us up, Lord. Lord, don't let us be closed. Lord, I'm going to pray the prayer that's even Samson prayed when he said, "Lord, if it's just this one time, if it's just this one time, Lord, I pray if it's just this one time, and it's never again for an anointing to fall on me, let this, oh God, let this message be that message, I pray. Anoint me and help me today. Lord, we will be confined every spirit of darkness in the name of Jesus." And everybody said, amen. Lord bless you as you're seated. There is a difference between idols and graven images. You know, it's from the time that I was just a young man, I've always wondered and marveled. It's always been a crazy thing in my mind, because I would say to within myself, and if we were to have a conversation, we'd probably laugh about it, make fun of it, poke fun of it. Why in the world would you have a God created by your own hands that you would believe could ever do anything for you? Why would you believe that a God that is not going to be able to hear your prayers except in your imagination and in your thoughts ever be what you're going to worship and to adore and give praise and adoration and give service to and love to? It doesn't make any sense. It's the ultimate in foolishness.
Amen.
Amen.
And yet, thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousands have done it throughout time and throughout history. And as I spoke about a minute ago, there's a difference between an idol and a graven image. And I want to concentrate my message today and entitle my message today, Graven Images. Graven Images. But they are the same problem, but yet they represent the same issue and the same problem, but yet they are different. Let me explain to you in the way that they are different. Idols are from a molten cast. But a graven image, they are carved into wood, metal, chiseled into metal or wood. They obviously, when you carve or chisel, it allows for more elaborate detail.
You mean that?
Than if you just molten something.
Right.
Typically. I would imagine there's with modern technology moved on, they were probably able to make more intricate detail through molding. But largely, and the Bible talks about carving, obviously, there were times that they would create images that they would worship that were carved out with their own hand. And it came out of their own mind.
Right.
But whatever mold or carved, it all comes from the mind of man. Now, it's interesting because in a lot of cases, it was not that it was another image of another man. It comes up, could be, and take that form. But often it took the form and carved things that were carved out that were more inanimate or were objects such as animals or whatever that they created in their mind. This is what they perceived that in their relationship to try to understand God. You see, I don't care what man tries to do to put the image or declare to the rest of mankind that there's no reason to worship. Man will always find to worship. My man was created to worship, and he will find a way to worship, and he will find an object to worship.
Amen.
And the truth is, all men have within this innate nature to graven out an image. Why? They're trying to graven out the image of what they perceive that God really is. You might say it fills in the blanks that they don't understand, that they want to see in their own mind, their conceptions, their precepts of this God. And so they graven out an image that comes out of their mind.
Right.
I don't mean, again, it comes out of their mind, and people gravitate to idols because it is a way, now listen to this, to project their thoughts, their ideas, and their wishes onto God. So we are glad that we are not in the days that this was prominent. We are glad that we are not in the days of such things predominantly. Now, we know that in the world there still are such things. Amen. But by and large, compared to the days gone by, it doesn't seem to be as prominent.
Right.
Most of the modern world realizes the folly of such an endeavor. We are, by and large, have thrown away the molten casts and the carving tools and have forsaken the denounces. Hold the phone. Hold the phone, because I'm here to tell you it's more prominent that you realize, because it's in the nature. It's in the nature of humanity. It's in the nature to graven out the image of God.
Right.
And I'm here to declare that mankind has not changed much. Matter of fact, I'm here to declare the natural state of man will always be to graven out images of God. And it is ingrained in the human sinful condition, irregardless of its futility, of its error, men will continue to do it. And this is there is not a human being. You've got to get this, is very key. There has not been a human being that ever walked on the face of the earth, excluding Jesus Christ, that was not guilty of being at least so inclined to do something like this, because it's ingrained in our sinful condition. And every man that's ever lived, excluding Christ, has had the tendency to do it. Even the most righteous people, consecrated people,
yes,
people that were used by God,
yes,
there were things in themselves that they had to fight because it wanted to grave the image of God. It wanted to fill in the blanks where there was no answer. And instead of crying to God, instead of reaching unto God for that thing we don't know, we tend to pick up that instrument of graving,
yeah,
that tool, and begin to put answers there,
yes,
that we don't even have.
Preach.
Hallelujah. Isn't it interesting that Jesus Christ, the only man, not being guilty of being so inclined, but when Satan tempted him,
come on,
when Satan tempted him,
yeah,
and it's found in the book of Matthew, I believe it is, where he took him up on the pinnacle.
Yes.
And as a matter of fact, let's read it. It's St. Luke chapter 4.
Uh
St. Luke chapter 4, verse 9.
Yes.
I'll give you a minute to get there. St. Luke 4 and 9 says this. And he brought him to Jerusalem, speaking of stating about Jesus. And he brought him to Jerusalem, and he set him on the pinnacle of the temple.
Yes.
And he said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence. For it is written,
yes,
he shall give his angels charge over thee,
amen,
to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answered and said unto him, it is said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.
Amen.
You see, the devil was so aware. Satan was so aware of the tendency of man to graven God in their image, to change scriptures or whatever, to put the scriptures and anything else in their mind. He wanted to know, Jesus, will you corrupt the scriptures? Will you twist the scriptures to your advantage? Will you change the scriptures to your situation? Or will you stick strictly to the scripture as it is written? I'm about to find more about you, Jesus, when I find whether or not you've got an agenda, or you come truly to his agenda, or is it the agenda of all men? Which the agenda of all man is to craven the image of what they want to see and want to believe. But Jesus would not twist the scripture.
Come on.
Jesus would not do what he wanted
Preach
him to
it.
Do. This coming in the today
or
one in the two. But I'm here to declare to mankind that God is expecting us instead of graven image of him. I'm here to tell you, we need to reach for him like we never reached for him before.
Yeah.
Jesus was not interested in his personal agenda.
Uh-huh.
Man wants to use his creativity when it comes to God.
Amen.
Look at some of the false premises people have written into the books about God. Just think
yes.
about books that you've read that people have put false premises about God that's not even true, because they've graven the image in their mind. They've graven out an image because they're not going to fill in the blanks. Oh, no, my friend. You're either going to grave with an image of God, or God is going to do the same with you. Hallelujah.
Listen,
He's either going to change your image by changing your mind, by changing your spirit, and changing your heart.
Amen.
Or you're going to grave without an image of God that doesn't even exist.
Uh-huh.
Right. I come to declare that even as apostolic believers, we are not innocent in this. I'm going to say it again. I've come to declare that even as apostolic believers, we are not innocent in this. We want to graven the image in of our own desires, in our own mind, of what we view God to be, of how we think things ought to be. Hallelujah. Even from the beginning of the early church, this has been an ongoing problem and thing. Peter had to be rebuked by Paul.
Amen.
Because his mindset had graven an image of God that was not true. I'm here to tell you, we've had some great men of God through the years in the history of the church. There have been great men of God, but there's one thing about it. We all stand in the need of God, because if we're not careful, we'll graven out an image that's not true about God.
Amen.
So we had to be rebuked. Hallelujah.
Good preaching.
There has been sects and divisions in apostolic believers since the church was first formed.
Amen.
It has always been that there have been divisions about what is acceptable, what is not acceptable, what is right, what is not right. There's always been controversies in the church. And as long as we have the ability to grave an out an image in our mind, it will always be that we have conflicting things that we disagree about.
Right.
The one of the Bible says, till we all come to the unity of the faith.
Yes.
It's a process.
Yes.
And when the Lord put this church together, He understood that He would be dealing with humanity with a tendency that would graven out the image in which they perceive Him as.
Come on.
That He knew that the only way that He was going to break through that mentality, He would have to break through in the spirit realm.
Yeah.
He would have to break through in the spirit realm. The one of the Bible says that the Spirit of God would lead you and guide you into all truth.
Yes.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Come on. Tell us.
The only hope in all of this is sincerity.
Amen.
Earnestness.
Yes.
In prayer.
Yes.
And the Word of God. Combined, it is able to conquer our tendencies. But I prove to you today that we, in fact, Brother Brandt, do have such tendencies. Because it's easy to sit here and say, Brother Marsh, you're exaggerating. No. Brother Marsh, you're off on this one. You're not right. Because we love God, we serve God, we're close to the Scripture, we're trying to be on the beam, and we don't have that tendency, Brother Marsh. We're pretty good shape here. We're pretty good shape. And I'm going to prove to you by the Word of God, because it hit me like a ton of bricks. It hit me like a ton of bricks that we have a tendency to take Scripture and to emphasize some Scriptures and to de-emphasize other Scriptures. And we understand that the Bible said that if you put anything, if you add anything, or if you take anything away, that we are in danger of the judgment. There's, I don't believe, listen to me, I don't believe there's anybody here who wants to start any heresy of saying things that are contrary to the Word of God. But let me tell you something, you can be a practical heretic if you choose not to put the emphasis on the Word of God and you de-emphasize things that's in the Word of God according to your ideology and your graven image in your mind.
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. And no one preaches the truth. Just all you got to do now is I'm preaching the truth.
Tell us.
St. Matthew 22, 37 through 39.
Yes.
It's clear today. It's not a matter of debate.
Uh-huh.
St. Matthew chapter 22, verse 37 says this. And Jesus said unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. Verse 39. And the second is like unto this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I'm here to tell you, we emphasize the one and we de-emphasize the other. And you know that I'm telling you the truth, because there are times that we don't really love people like we need to love people. But we say, I love God. I love God. But the Lord is telling us, how can you say you love me when you don't love somebody that you can see? It's time to get out of deception. It's time to get honest. It's time to throw away the graven tool. Come on, it's time to throw away the graven tool. It's time to see the real God for who He is.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There are other things. I'm here to tell you there are countless things that you and I do not emphasize that's in the Word of God that the Bible calls, what I would say without question, are qualifiers. Because we say if you repent, if you're baptized in Jesus' name, and you're full of the Holy Ghost, you're good. That's the plan of salvation. And it is the plan to get in the church to be saved. But it is no way everything that's involved about what it takes to be saved. But our graven image tells us, hey, if we do this, if we do this minimum, we're okay. But my Bible tells me that they that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I'm here to tell you, if you're not being led by the Spirit of God,
come on.
I don't care what you might have had yesterday or the day before, you're not going.
Amen. Good preaching.
Praise God.
Amen.
So many great in the image is what we emphasize.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's like me. I don't want to emphasize about the scriptures about not overeating because my flesh likes to overeat. So what we do is we justify ourselves. We make excuse for ourselves. We highlight what we want to highlight. We de-emphasize what we want to de-emphasize. In essence, we might as well be taking the script. We take a penknife and we cut the scripture out. Brother Brown, it's not that we say it's not there. It's just that we refuse to acknowledge and put an emphasis and say, God, I've got to come up here. I've got to get better here. I've got to be more like you here.
Amen.
That's what it's about. Not one of us have arrived. I have certainly have not arrived. My God, when I think about the man of God that's come, even in this pulpit that could preach sermons around me and done many, many great things for God that I have never done, may never do, but Brother Watson, it called on me. I figured this much out. I don't care how much people have accomplished in the past, and listen to me very carefully, there's going to come a day that we are going to receive a reward according to what we've done, and then some people are going to be highly decorated in heaven. But listen to me. While that is true, you must understand this. As long as we are on this earth, I don't care how much they accomplish, Brother Watson. I don't care how many they pray through. There's one thing that we stand on equal ground. We all need God in the worst way. I said we all need God more than we ever recognize and realize how much we desperately need healed.
Amen.
That's what we need.
Yeah.
There's a sense about us as ministers sometimes. Matter of fact, I heard a pastor preacher tell me one time, said, well, you know, we got to be up here because all the saints are going to be down here.
Uh-huh.
Well, that is true from the perspective of study and consecration and dedication. You are supposed to be a little more.
Mm-hmm.
But when it comes to repentance time and the time of weeping before the Lord and crying and getting your face down in the carpet and calling on God, if that's your attitude, you miss God 1,000 miles because you're not up here and they're down here. You're on the same level. Repeat themselves about 1,000 times. You spell her amen, amen, you heard it all.
Mm-hmm.
And then what I call huff preaching to where it's like so super exaggerated, it's distracting.
Mm-hmm.
So I told Brother Watson, you know, one thing I will do is I will watch myself, if only for the purpose, it's difficult for me because I'm being honest now, I'm being honest confession.
Amen.
I don't like to do it for one main reason. I got to make myself do it a little bit. I don't like to hear my voice. I hate the sound of my voice when I'm preaching. And I know I've got a real southern draw to me. And I don't like it. Brother Brown says what the Lord said to me. Don't you worry. Just focus on what anything sounds like. So child, you need to be praying that the voice of the Spirit is echoed in that service. They need to hear my voice, and don't worry about your voice.
Amen.
He said, don't worry about that. What you need to be praying and fasting over is that my voice comes out when you are preaching the Word of God.
Amen.
Make that your focal point and not what you sound like.
Amen.
So I try to take that lesson. So I'm not... I may not, they probably won't listen to this. Last time I was in the gate, I told Brother Watson, I said, last time in the gate, I felt like I just fumbled the ball all over the place, and sometimes it's like that. But part of the time is we don't always come with the same passion and zeal. I said to my wife, she said, my God, man, there's so many words out of my words. You got so many notes. I said, but you don't understand how full of God put this into me. I was talking to my sister on the phone, and the Holy Ghost was moving on me as I was in studying and thinking about this message. And I was preaching to my sister, and I didn't even take up an offering. Brother Brown has been eating on me for days and days and days. And then I was talking to my wife, and we were just standing there in the living room, And the Holy Ghost began to move, and I wasn't trying to preach, but it was just coming out of my soul. I said, I'm so tired of myself. I'm so tired of graven images. Joel chapter 2, verse 13. So rend your hearts and not your garments, and return to the Lord your God. That's all I'm trying to say, Brother Brent. Is the Lord's helping me to rend my heart. And I look out on this congregation today, and too many of you, you don't have your hearts rend before God because you don't know how desperately you need Him right now. And if I could only get you to see how desperate you are for God, if I could only get you to see how much you need Him. How much you need Him. You need Him desperately. I say you need Him desperately. Throw away the graven tool and get in touch with God.
Somebody lift their hands and worship the Lord right now. Hallelujah. It's time for us to see some things we haven't seen in a long time. I know we just come out of revival, but what has the preacher been preaching to us predominantly? Repent, repent, repent. I'm here to tell you, if anybody, preacher, comes to this pulpit and the central message of what they're preaching is not repentance, you have not heard from somebody that's in tune with God. I appreciate the preacher because he was in tune with God and he was preaching repentance and he preached it to me. And I'm saying to myself, that's me. I recognize I got to take a step up. That's what preaching is supposed to do. That's what the anointing is supposed to do. That's what the Word of God is supposed to do.
Amen.
Rend your heart, not your garments. Say Matthew 25, 6 and 7. And at midnight, there was a cry made.
Yes.
Behold, the bridegroom cometh.
Uh-huh.
Go ye out to meet him.
Yes.
All the virgins arose and trimmed their lamps.
Uh-huh.
Come on, it's time to trim our lamps in repentance. It's time to get it really right. Not partly right, not mostly right. It's time to trim our lamps because at midnight there's been a cry made. I worry about us that we don't hear this cry enough, because I think if it got a hold of us enough, Brother Brent, we'd find ourselves in prayer meetings when there was no prayer meeting.
Amen.
Amen.
But at midnight, the cry was made. They trimmed their lamps. There is a spirit of today that wants to rock us to sleep. And we have convinced ourselves that we've become removed from the truth about who we are. We have a false conception in the graven image of our mind. But my Bible tells me, and I spoke a minute ago, that the Bible says, it says, at the times of ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. What in the name of God do we understand? How do we not understand the word all? It's very much inclusive.
Amen.
It involves me as the preacher. It certainly involves you as well.
Amen.
I know you can say, well, that had to do with repentance unto salvation, but there's a still repentance that comes after salvation. And I don't believe He's changed, because He's Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and
forever. And I realize crying and weeping is not the same as repentance, but the Bible said godly sorrow leadeth to repentance. And there's something about when we begin to cry and to weep before God and get serious with God, it has an effect on us. You know, Jesus, when he gave out to fed the 5,000, he took that bread, which was symbolic of you and I, and he broke that bread. You see, the problem, the reason we're not reaching more people is we're really not broken. We need to be broken. If we get broken, the image that we're looking for, that we want to see, will be there and not what's in our minds. Because when we get together, brother, with our minds, we'll start talking about the bad. We'll start talking about the little ones. We'll start talking about different ones that we don't feel like doing good. We'll start talking about everything else. And the next thing you know, instead of being full of faith, the devil has us right where he wants us. Because there's no faith in criticism.
Amen.
I said, there's no faith there.
Amen.
If we see a fault, the Bible says, here's the greatest condemnation of the church in the modern times today. The Bible says, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one. Here's what we do. We watch people go off and quit living a life of consecration, dedicated, and holy. And instead of praying for them, we talk about it. They don't believe fat meat's greasy. They're a compromiser. They're a compromiser. I knew they wasn't going to make it anyway, Brother Brad. They didn't have the goods. I'm hitting the road right now, my friend. This is an abomination in the sight of God. I tell you, our attitude, our non-repentant attitude, stinks in the nostrils of God. And we might think we're getting by, but we're not getting by. We might think we're going to have a revival and this kind of stuff, but we're not going to have a revival. Too long, God is silent on us. And I've got to ask the question, is God being too silent because we cannot hear? Or is he stopped speaking because we won't listen?
Amen. Come on.
Hallelujah. I thank God. I thank God that you are hearing, because I believe you're getting what I'm telling you today. And it is so crucial in this hour.
Yes.
Yes, it is. Hallelujah. Today, in this country alone, across the many various apostolic pews, we have many false perceptions about God. His precepts are not acknowledged, and his way is not taught, even in apostolic ranks. I'm not here to condemn. I'm here to encourage. Let's set our heights. I just mentioned a few things that we really are not emphasizing that we need to take a step up, me included. You see, I knew when I preached this message, Brother Brett, I was going to preach hard to me, and hope that you listened and got something out of it. Because I'm tired of the way I've been. I want to get to a new plateau, and the only way I'm going to do it, I've got to throw down the grave with image and say, God, you've got to have your way with me. I got to learn to weep between the porch and the altar, as was told to the priest a long time ago. I got to learn to weep more between the porch and the altar. I don't want to see anybody in a pulpit that will. It's not a gatherer. We need a gatherer in this last day. I said we need a gatherer in this last day. We need the mindset of a gatherer. We need the mindset of somebody who's praying and seeking the face of God. Praise God. We've just got to have it. Jeremiah 2:13, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living waters, and have hewn out, as that word, as that again, it's hewn out cisterns that can hold no water. And we wonder why we struggle. We wonder why we struggle to keep a little joy in our life, have a little fire in our soul, because we've hewn out cisterns that can hold no water. It's time to lay down the tools and begin to prostrate ourselves before God. The need for godly sorrow and repentance has never been more needed than this dire hour that we're living in. Micah 6:8, he has showed thee, O man, what is good and what the Lord doth require of thee, but to do justly
and to love mercy. Here's the problem when we are, if we are, as I described a few minutes ago, when we're talking about one another. You don't love mercy. You don't love mercy. If you love mercy, you're not going to talk about it. Because you don't want the Lord to go, I need to go. You know, we don't love mercy. We don't love mercy. We're not really loving God like we say we love God. Because as I told you at the outset of this, God said, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You can't, until you can't emphasize one and de-emphasize the other.
Right?
It just won't work. What we have to do is we have to acknowledge we have problems in areas and say, Lord, I'm pulling down the tool. I want you to work on me. Hallelujah. I'm almost done. I want to show you something. I'm not finding it. It's in 2 Corinthians, I believe. About Paul. The Bible said, I want to show you just how much you need God and how much I need God. Can't find the scriptures I wrote down. So we know the story well. We'll just talk about that. Paul said, Christ I sought the Lord because I've got a thorn in the flesh.
Amen.
And it's buffeting me.
Yep.
And I sought the Lord three times to take it away. And he hasn't taken it back. You know why? The Lord, I believe, was saying this. Paul, I've got to do this in your life. I know you want me to take it away. I know you want me to get rid of it. Paul, I've got to do this. Because, Paul, you have reached a state of elevation. That you're way up here and the people are way down here. But if I don't give you this buffet, if I don't give you this thorn in the flesh, you will lose the understanding of the attitude of how much you need me.
Amen.
Right. Please let that settle in on your heart. Paul, if I don't do this, You come to Revelations, you pray to me through your you wrote most of the New Testament. You got all these things going in your life. Paul, I gotta do this because when I do this, you're gonna say within yourself, your prayers are gonna be full of, oh God, I need your grace. I need you more than anything, Lord. I've got to have you. Brothers and sisters, if Paul, this was true in his whole life, my ending statement to you, and how in the world can we look at that comparatively and not fall on our face before God and say, God, I'm so desperate in need of you.
Amen.
How do we do it? How do we go services that there's no real offer response? How do we go services where people are just not responding to preaching? Because when you get so full of your own theology, real theology just won't do it. Because you created your image of God. And your image of God says you're fine. Your image of God says you love me. Your image of God says it's all right. Your image of God says all we really need is a great understanding of the Word of God. And we got enough. Let me tell you something. The Bible says that we are changed from glory to glory. I need to find that scripture if I can find it. For we all with open face. Anybody know where it's at? I got it here somewhere.
all with open face are changed from glory to glory. And it goes on to say, notice, it didn't say by the word at the end of that. Look for yourself. I can't remember where I wrote it down on my notes. But when you finish that out, it doesn't say we're changed from glory to glory by the Word of God. And that's not to diminish the Word of God. We have to have the Word of God to know what we're even talking about today. So I'm not in any way diminishing the Word of God, but I am trying to make a point. The Bible says we are changed from glory to glory. Now my question to you is, why does it not say we're changed from corruption to glory? It does not say, Brother Brown, we're changed from corruption to glory. It says we're changed from glory to glory. You know why? Because we have, the Bible says these words, till Christ is formed in you. Till Christ is formed in you. And so inside of us in the Holy Ghost, when we're in the Holy Ghost, when we are praying and having a time with God and the Holy Ghost, we are beholding Him face to face, and we are being changed. Don't you tell me it's about the end time change, because that's not what it's even talking about. That's talking about a process of when we in our spirit walk with God, and the change is going about, and the Bible says we are changed from glory to glory, not corruption to glory. Because there's a glory inside. I said there's a glory in the Lord, because He is glorified. He is above all. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. What does it say?
But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord.
Even as by the Spirit of the Lord. That's why you gotta have the Holy Ghost. That's why you can't make it without the Holy Ghost. Because if the Holy Ghost is not inside you, there's no glory transforming to glory. Praise God. Would you stand? Lord, thank you for preaching to me through my own voice. Timothy was told that by preaching, hearing his own preaching, where he could save himself besides those that heard him. Now, Lord, I've not preached my opinion. I have preached your precious word. Lord, we are having a problem within ourselves and throughout all humanity. It is an acknowledgement, God, that we have a tendency. It's in our nature to grave out the image of you. To create the image of you, we want to project on you. And because of it, there are many times, Lord, that we fail to heed the Word of God because we discount what you're trying to say to us when it doesn't fit the narrative. Lord, there are times in my flesh, I'm getting honest before you, Lord, there are times that I read the Word of God and I don't like what I read because it brings an acknowledgement of me that I am wrong in that area and that I've got to be different. That I've got to change, that I've got to be a better man. Lord, I thank you today that your word has made clear that I need you desperately. I need you desperately, Lord. Please, Lord, understand that I recognize my need of you. Don't let my eyes be dry. Don't let my dry eyes, oh God, produce the graven image. Lord, let me weep and cry to you. And let me find, because I found in my tenderness of direction. I found in my tenderness of change. I found in my times of tenderness of joy. I found in my times of tenderness of peace. And I want that, Lord, because I want to be changed. You've got to be formed till Christ be formed in me. I'm here to tell us that if either you're going to form Christ, and that's been the problem for us for so many years in the apostolic movement, we have come back long ago, Brother Watson, long ago, many men were gathered together and they were debating and talking about the mighty God in Christ, to accept it or to not accept it. I'm here to tell you that many men, because of peer pressure, you see, you and I have a tendency to put pressure upon each other.
Amen.
But because of peer pressure, Many of them walked out and I believe saw it, but just wouldn't do it.
I didn't believe that.
You know, today I really believe the thing that we're not really understanding. We have the understanding of the mighty God in Christ. But I don't think we have an adequate understanding of Christ in us, the hope of glory. And so we argue over things where we have disagreements because we don't really believe what we say we believe. We give it lip service, but we really don't believe in Christ in us, the hope of glory, till Christ be formed in you. You see, there's going to be a lot of people, Brother Watson, that dress right, they look the part, and they're going to slip hell wide open.
Amen.
They have what we classify holiness standards, but there's a lacking there because Christ is not formed in them. And if Christ is not formed in us, and we have holiness standards that are not backed up by love, do you hear me? I said, I don't care how what you think the standard works. If it's not, if your foundation isn't love, yes, God is holy, but God is also love. And anything that doesn't come out of love don't count.
Amen. Right.
My Bible tells me that you can give your body to be burned. You can be as consecrated and dedicated as you wish. But if you don't have love, 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 it doesn't really mean anything. But where are we going to get the love? I'm asking you, where are we going to get that kind of love to love our neighbor as we self? Till Christ be born. Till Christ be born. Till Christ be born. Till Christ be born in you.
Amen.
He can do what you cannot do through the power of the Holy Ghost. Brother, that's why God gave you the Holy Ghost, for Christ to be formed in you. Hallelujah. I'm not knocking consecration and dedication. You've got to have those things. I'm not knocking any of those things. What we look at it a lot of times is we think, well, on this side of the people, you got people that believe in holiness standards, and on this side of the people, you got people that don't believe nothing. Here's the reality. On this type of people, you've got people that have consecration and are willing to have discipline in their life. And on this side over here, you've got people with no discipline. It's not a holiness issue nearly as much as we think it is. I'll give you a classic example. We have used hair and holiness and involving a woman. And there's nothing about that that's holy. It's about holiness.
Amen.
It's about obedience. Yeah. It's about angels. Yeah. It's about God making man and a woman coming from a man and her needing a covering. We call it holiness standards. It's not even holiness. Yeah. It's obedience. Some of the things I'm trying to get through to us, there's some things that are just simple obedience that we're supposed to do in our relationship with God.
Amen.
There's a lot more to holiness than what we've ever said.
Amen.
But the problem is what I'm preaching to you. We grave our images of what we is, of our concepts.
Come on.
And we need to get back to the altar. We need to get back. We need to get back to God. I said we need to get back to the old fashioned power of God and anointing and say, Lord, I need you. Brother Watson, we lost a dear woman to this church because somebody thought they could form. Instead of Christ being formed in us and being patient until the fruit come about, they said, I'm going to step up and help you. I'm going to form you. It won't work. All it has done to us through the years has brought a lot of confusion, a lot of heartache, a lot of disappointment, and a lot of fussing, and a lot of fighting, and a whole lot of a lack of love. But the Bible says, to Christ be formed in you.
Amen.
We'll have to make a decision somewhere along the line of what we believe the Bible or what we like our own opinion.
Amen.
I'm full of this, but I believe it with all my heart. And you won't keep me off of it because it's the Word of God. That you bring me something that's the Word of God, that you bring it to me. But I'm preaching to you the Word of God.
got to have this if we're going to be saved.
Amen.
This is old time preaching. When holiness is within.
Yes, it is.
Glory to God.
And when you get the within taken care of,
yes, sir.
It takes care of the outer appearance.
Yes,
amen. People have, as this preacher said, has a misconception of the Word of God.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, if we ever in our life give it a message of the Holy Ghost, keep coming to this altar.
Yes.
Keep listening to this altar.
Yes.
Until God fills you with the Holy Ghost. Because I'm going to tell you, if He were to come this afternoon, you would not get to go.
Amen.
That's sad.
Amen.
Amen. Not because you're a bad person. You've got to have the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
To make it out of here.
Yes, sir.
Jesus said, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven.
Amen.
Went on to say, if a man's not born again of the water and of the spirit, he cannot even see it. Amen.
That's the word.
But I'll tell you, you need the Holy Ghost more than you need life itself.
Yes.
You need it more than you need your natural food.
Yes.
Amen. And how you're going to get it is you've got to get hungry. And you first got to do the thing that this preacher preached today. Amen. First thing on your agenda is say, God, forgive me of my sins.
Yes.
Do you know I've been serving God 55 years? And been preaching this 55 years, been serving God a little longer. Do you know there's not a day that goes by that when I kneel beside my bed that I don't say, God, forgive me. Forgive me. And I tell God that my righteousness ain't nothing but filthy rags. And I talk to Him. And I tell Him. Amen. And then when I get things straightened out and get things repented, have I ever sinned since I've come to God? You'd be a liar if you say you haven't.
That's right.
We've all sinned. We've all come short of the glory of God. But there better not be no sin in your life in the trump of God's sake.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, you better be ready to go. This message was powerful today. Appreciate the young couple that was here preaching the revival, Brother and Sister Tommy.
Yes.
They texted me yesterday and they said, we're already missing y'all bad.
Oh,
so, amen. All I have to do is say, go home, get your trailer and come down here. They'd do it.
Yes.
They'd come.
Yes.
They would come.
Yes,
amen. But we got to have them in the will of God.
Amen.
You know, when I first started pastoring, Brother Hooten, they called me and told me I wanted me to go try out for a church up in Indiana. But they said there's just two things that you can't preach against. And you know, of course your red flag goes up then.
Yeah.
And they said you can't preach against television. And you can't preach against double marriage. I said, well, I'm the wrong man. I'm the wrong man. I believe, you come to my house, amen, as that song says, expecting to see a TV. you're not going to see one. Amen. There's no TV in my home. Please, God. I told my grandson, I said, the babies were coming to stay with us, and I said, you know, they know we don't have no TV. Amen. Tell them bring their iPads, and they get their games on their iPads. Amen. But thank God. Thank God that I don't have that worry about. How can you sit and watch something that's using God's name in vain and nudity and everything else? And my God, Facebook's just as bad.
Amen.
If it wasn't for this right here going down across for somebody, amen, to maybe hear the word of God. Like they did in Indianapolis, that called me and said, You saved me, Pastor. Amen. By preaching what you did. Amen. And that message I preached on being not deceived. Amen. So he said, I'm finding me an apostolic church on Sunday morning and I'm going. Amen. That's the only reason I had it. Because it ain't no good for nothing else. Amen. Not really sure if it's good for that. They already took me on one side of mine because of something I said across the pulpit. Amen. They're not for us. Facebook's not for us. Amen. It's just a trick. It's a trick that the devil has got. People are going on Facebook. And I'm telling you today, if you got TikTok on your, if you're going on TikTok, you're sinning. You're just sinning.
Yes, sir.
And I said, you know, my son, he came down and showed me my daughter on TikTok. I thought my daughter was a preacher. Well, she's carrying on. It's an abomination, folks, to talk these things, and they're not living 1 ounce of anything. Amen. Amen. You got to get the inside cleaned up.
Amen.
When you get the inside cleaned up, God will be your home now. Amen. And I tell you what, these young people have been in this altar this past week. Amen. And thank God for that. That young preacher got her. That's one thing that young preacher did. He got our young people in the
altar
7 nights in a row. Amen. And I'm telling you, we don't need to let go of that.
No.
Amen. They, young people, you still need to come to this altar. And we will pray with you.
Yes,
we don't need to go to Bob Evans and get something to eat. We'll stay right here all day long. As long as you want to be here. We're here. And we're here for you. And I'm telling you, amen, you young people are going to get the Holy Ghost. Amen. Because it embedded something in you this last week. Amen. I'm sure you've been praying and talking to God at home. You don't have to be here to do it. You can get it in your bedroom.
Amen.
But I tell you, in order to get it, you got to put aside some things. Amen. And I had to put some things aside. You know, I thought I had repented, brother. I really thought I had. Found out that I hadn't even repented.
Yeah.
I'd ask God to forgive me. But you know, it's one thing to ask God to forgive you and change. But it's another to ask God to forgive you and you keep on doing the same thing over and over. You have not repented. Amen. And the scripture said, "Wilful sin, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin." Amen. So get in here with all you got, young people. We're counting on you. And Brother Aiden, you could be the next pastor in Dundee. Hey, I'm telling you, you don't know. Praise God. You sure can.
I want to, for our benefit today, because it really, I was reading the book of Revelation. And I'm going to ask you to go back and
just start reading the book of Revelation, the first three chapters, and notice what Jesus said to the churches. And if you can look at what Jesus said to the churches as he starts bragging on them and talking about all the good things, but turned around and said, if you don't repent, I'm going to take your candlestick out of its place. Now, if we can come to church in the face of just reading this and being refreshed to this, and we think that we're okay and we can just not darken the altars and not pray and call on God, I don't want to say that. I really don't. Brother Watson, he got a hold of me.
Yeah.
When I read about what Jesus said to them, and I'm looking, my God, these people are good. These people are consecrated. These people hate evil. There's a lot, so many good. But yet Jesus said, you've got it.
Amen. So let's, amen. Prayer meeting is Tuesday night. Amen. Let's be at prayer meeting.